As you read this chapter of 1 Corinthians, it seems to fall into five divisions. One, conflict in the church. Two, judging others. Three, diet considerations. Four, sex appetite and control. Five, ownership of self. Our focus for today will deal with the fifth division, ownership of self. You see, we all are inclined to say we belong to ourselves. Many people say they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies. However, in this sixth chapter of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that is not true. He then goes on to tell us why it isn't true and what we need to do about it. With that being said, I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, now under new management. Now under new management. All of us, from time to time, have noticed the words under new management over the door or in the front window of some place of business. Those words convey a series of thoughts and impressions to our mind. When we see those words, we know immediately that this business has experienced a change. The most obvious change is that of leadership. But with new management comes new motivation and new methods in the way business is conducted. One likes to think that a change in management will bring with it an improvement in the overall function of the business. However, in the reality of the secular world, that is not always the case. Sometimes new isn't necessarily better. In today's text, Paul has declared the believer in Christ to be under new management. When we become Christians, the Holy Spirit fills and lives in us. Therefore, we no longer own our bodies. We are under new management. You see, we have been bought with a price, and Christ's death frees us from sin, but it also obligates us to serve. From a physical perspective, if you lived in a building owned by someone else, you don't violate the building rules. From a spiritual perspective, because your body belongs to God, you must not violate his standards for living. The body is important to God, and Paul informs us what our attitude should be with regards to our body. Paul challenges us to view the body from God's perspective. The body was made for the Lord's use and glory. Our bodies were designed to serve the Lord in this life and in the life to come. The body is the instrument wherein a man or woman serves God. It is an instrument whereby we glorify God. Let us consider the body as a temple. The text in verse 19 says, Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? In the Old Testament, God had a temple for his people. In the New Testament, God has a people for his temple. Let's take a look at this word temple. The English New Testament uses one word for temple, but the Greek uses several words that bring added meaning to this word temple. In the context of our text, naos is the Greek word that is translated temple. Naos has a very specific meaning. It refers to the inner sanctuary of the temple complex. In the Bible, the word naos is translated Holy of Holies. This is the place where the Spirit of the Lord dwells. The body of every believer becomes, at the moment of salvation, the temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes in to indwell us and make our bodies a sacred habitation. Therefore, my body is the temple of God. This is a claim which believers must admit. You are not your own. You do not belong to yourselves. You belong to God, for you are now under new management. You are united with Christ. You are one in spirit with Christ. Your thoughts should reflect God's thoughts. Your passion should reflect God's passions. Your actions should reflect His actions. You should strive to be a perfect reflection of Jesus. Let us consider the body as a trust. The text in verse 20 says, "And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price." Since my body belongs to God and is God's temple, He loans it to me as a trust. Whenever you have something in your possession that belongs to another, it is a trust. And you are responsible to take good care of another's possession. If I loan you my car, it is given to you as a trust. You must not abuse it or neglect it. You should treat it in the way that I want it to be treated. Since my body is not mine, I should honor by both piety and purity the one to whom it belongs. Our bodies are the property of Him who purchased us at such a great cost. Every child of God has been bought with the price, the precious blood of Christ. As a matter of fact, every soul on earth, lost or saved, has been bought with the same price, but many reject the payment. You see, God demanded payment for sin, for all the sins of the whole world, but also for your sins. And without the payment, every one of us would be condemned to hell. But God, who is rich in mercy, sent His only begotten Son to die on the cruel cross of Calvary, to shed blood and die so that our sin debt might be paid. Jesus paid it all. It is when we come to God in repentance and faith and admit to Him that we recognize our complete inability to make the payment ourselves, and that we want Christ's payment that we can be saved. Jesus paid it all, and all to Him I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and He has washed it white as snow. We are the trustees of the body. We hold it for the Lord, and we should use it according to His direction. Let us consider the body a testimony. Verse 20 continues by saying, "Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." According to Scripture, the purpose of the body is to be used to bring glory to God. Our body is the instrument. Please remember, our body is the instrument through which we are able to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. 1 Peter 2 and 9 tells us, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Notice the words, that you may declare the praises of him. We are God's chosen method of advertising his praises. The word praises here means excellencies. The virtues and excellencies of Christ are to be seen and magnified in our life. Observe what Paul declared in Philippians 1 and 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be life by life or by death. So we've got to give God glory. For the Bible tells us in Psalms 50 and 23, whoso offereth praise glorifies God. So we've got to glorify the Lord, for the Lord is our joy. And when we are feeling sad, amen, the Lord is our strength when we are feeling weak. The Lord is our living water when we are thirsty. The Lord is our help when we are in need. So we've got to glorify the Lord, for the Lord is our wisdom when we are confused. The Lord is our protection when we are endangered. The Lord is our supply when we are empty. The Lord is our healing when we are hurt. The Lord is our encouragement when we are feeling depressed. So we've got to glorify God, church. For the Lord is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. The Lord is the light and the Savior of the world. The Lord is the mighty Son of God, the living Word of God, the Prince of Peace, the Good Shepherd. The Lord is the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord is the true vine. Hallelujah. The Lord is the resurrection and the life. So we've got to give God some praise because we are now under new management. You are not your own, but are the temple of the living God. Let me close with this story. An orphan boy was living with his grandmother when their house caught on fire. The grandmother, trying to get upstairs to rescue the boy, perished in the flames. The boy's cry for help were finally answered by a man who climbed an iron drain pipe and came back down with the boy hanging tightly to his neck. Several weeks later, a public hearing was held to determine who would receive custody of the child. A farmer, a teacher, and the town's wealthiest citizen all gave the reasons they felt that they should be chosen to give this boy a home. But as they talked, the lad's eyes remained focused on the floor. Then a stranger walked to the front and slowly took his hands from out of his pockets, revealing severe scars on them. As the crowd gasped, the boy cried out in recognition. This was the man who had saved his life. His hands had been burned when he climbed the hot pipe. With a leap, the boy threw his arms around the man's neck and held on for dear life. The other men silently walked away, leaving the boy and his rescuer alone. Those marred hands had settled the issue. Many voices are calling for our attention. Among them is the one whose nail-pierced hands reminds us that he rescued us from sin and its deadly consequences. To him belongs our love and devotion. You are now under new management. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this word, letting us know that we are now under new management, that our bodies are not ours, but they are to be used to glorify you. So touch each and every one, God, that they will be used for your glory, that they will feed the hungry, that they will clothe the naked. They will provide for those who are in need, oh God, that they will do the things that you have called for us to do. We will go out in the world and do the work of Christ. We will spread the good news to let everyone know that you are risen and you are our Lord and our Savior. So, Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.